Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us, and through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And good morning, everyone. Thank you, and a special welcome also to our brothers and sisters and families who are following us through television, radio, and internet. We welcome all of you, especially today in our midst. We have a group of catechumens and candidates from our RCIA. Today, this year, God bless us with a big group, almost 20 of them are here. And they'll go through their first scrutiny today. I have to ask you to please pray for them and their families and their sponsors. We gather now as God's holy people to celebrate this most holy Eucharist. Let us then prepare ourselves by calling to mind our sins and ask the Lord for forgiveness. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done, in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Let us pray. O God, author of every mercy and of all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin, look graciously on this confession of our lowliness, that we who are bowed down by our conscience may always be lifted up by your mercy. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in fire, flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw him coming over to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, Moses, Moses. He answered, Here I am. God said, Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I am the God of your fathers, he continued, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But the Lord said, I have witnessed the affliction of my people in Egypt, and have heard their cry of complaint against their slave drivers. So I know well what they are suffering. Therefore, I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians and lead them to that land, from that land, out of that land, into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses said to God, But when I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, if they ask me, What is his name? What am I to tell them? God replied, I am who am. Then he added, This is what you shall tell the Israelites. I am sent me to you. God spoke further to Moses. Thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is to be my name forever. Thus I am to be remembered through all generations. The word of the Lord. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all of them were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the desert. These things happened as an example for us, so that we might not desire evil things as they did. Do not grumble as some of them did, and suffer death by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and they have been written down as a warning to us, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall. The word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Luke. Some people told Jesus that the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices, Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And he told them this parable. There was once a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future, if you do not cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
We are now on to our third Sunday of the Lenten season. And during these 40 days, we are encouraged to pray, to fast, and to give alms. We do that so that way we might learn to deny ourselves, to empty ourselves out so that way God might fill us with Himself. And hopefully we'll be able to not doing our will so much, but that we might learn to do the will of God. It is easier said than done to do the will of God. When things are going well, we don't have much problem following God's will, but it is when we encounter difficulties and obstacles in our lives, that's when we tend to withdraw and we become self-sufficient. We depend on ourselves instead of on God. case in point, there was a young man who lived on a very high hill, and the drive up there back and forth is very treacherous. And one night he made a mistake of drinking too much at the local pub down in the bottom of the hill, and he got drunk, but he has a sensible mind that not to drive home because it's such a dangerous drive. So he decided to walk home instead. And as he walked about halfway up, and it was dark and he was drunk, so he stumbled and he fell over the hill. On the way down, he reached out frantically and he grabbed hold of a tree branch from a little brush that grew on the side of the hill. And as he hanging on to that tree branch for life, he yelling out, crying out to God, said, "God, please help me. If you help me to get out of this predicament, I promise I'll never drink again, not a drop." Lo and behold, that was the voice of God from the heavens speaking to him. I said, "This is God." I said, "God, please help me, please help me." And God said, "Is it true that if I help you, you will never drink again?" I said, "Yes, yes, not even a drop." And then God said, "Okay, let go." And the young man just grasped even more tighter to the tree, to the branch, and he thought about it, and he asked God, "What?" And God said, "I said, let go." And the young man looked up there and said, "Is there anyone else up there?" It's not easy to let go of our will and doing the will of God. Had the young man listened to God and let go, he would have been in a much better shape, because the next day when he woke, the light came out, the sun, he looked down, he was only 5 feet off the ground. Didn't trust God. It's not easy to put our trust in God and do His will. The readings today are kind of the two opposite end. It gives us conflicting views of God. In the responsorial psalm, we hear how we sing that God is kind and merciful. He's patient, infinitely patient. The readings are telling us that. The gospel, however, is telling us God is very demanding, impatient God even, because he went to see the fig trees, and for 3 years, no fruits. And so the owner of the vineyard, namely God, saying, "Cut it down. I don't want it around to exhaust my soil." Yet the keeper of the vineyard asked God, said, "Just give me another year. I'll prune around it. I'll make it produce fruit." God might be patient, kind, and merciful. At the same time, he is impatient and very demanding. And oftentimes, we tend to bank on the fact that God is kind and merciful and infinitely patient with us. So we have time. We don't have to do the things we need to do to produce good works for God yet. We just have to take our time to do it. And there lies the danger. I asked a group of children in CCD one time, I asked them, I said, "What would you do if God calls you today?" And being kids, they're very honest. As Pope Francis said, love hearing confessions for kids. They tell you exactly what they did. They don't beat around the bushes. The grown-ups do all the time. And so the kids said, "Well, if God calls me today," the one of them said, "I'll go to the church and pray." Another one said, "I'll go and find a priest and go confession." Another child said, "I will call my mom and dad and tell them that I love them." Another child said, "I'll go home and hug my mom and dad." The question is that if all those things are so good and we want to do them, why don't we do them now while we're still able, instead of waiting until we have the last day before we do that? I have a friend who is also a priest. He was ordained a year ahead of me. He's still in the parish. He would have celebrated his 25th year this past year, and he's enjoying his 25th year right now. The only bad thing is that he's dying of cancer. About 5 or 6 years ago, he found out he has cancer, and he fought with it and went through chemotherapy and radiation twice already. And now he's really tired. And this third time when the cancer comes back with a vengeance, it spread all over his body, and he has resigned to the fact that he's going to die. And so he wrote emails to all of us. telling us that he's not giving up. It's just that he's just ready to go see God. And he's taking the time, perhaps a few weeks or months that he has, to say goodbye to his parents, still alive. That's the sad thing. In peacetime, children are supposed to bury their parents, not the other way around. And he has a lot of siblings and nephews and nieces and grandnephews and grandnieces, almost 100 of them. So he has a lot of them to say goodbye to. At first, I was angry at him because he gave up. He didn't fight. But as I thought about it, I kind of envy him because God loves him so much that he gives him the time to do all these things before he passes on. His name is Father Dan. He's a priest in Victoria Diocese. Yeah, I used to cut his hair in the seminary. I was a hair cutter. And he gave me a scissor. I still have it. 26 years, 30 years, I still have the scissors. Still use it too. So I already missed him. He's not dead yet. But I envy him because God loves him so much, he gives him the time to do all these things while he's still able. And then I thought about myself, and perhaps for all of us too. God gave us all these times we're healthy. Why don't we do all those things now? If prayer is so good before we died, why don't we pray now? Go to Mass on Sunday, have a personal relationship with God, having a schedule. Don't leave God for a chance. Just like work and sleep, we schedule everything. Schedule prayers into our life. Spend some time talking to him in the morning, in the evening. Get to know God better, because when we die and we want to go to heaven, that's where God is all the time. And we don't know him now, we won't know him then. And heaven might not be so good if we don't know God. If confessions is so good for us before we died, why don't we take the time to do that now? Seek reconciliation, seek God's mercy, and then go and do the same with others. We have people we hold grudges for years, 5, 10, 20, 40 years, and we don't know why we still do that, but we're still holding grudges on that person. We won't let go. We'll not release them. Why not doing it now while we have the time? Why wait until before we die, before we do those things? If you are married, and sometimes being married a long time, we tend to see only the bad things, faults with each other. Every time we talk, it's argument, never something nice. It's because we train each other after a few years, we train each other to do that. But if we're dying, we would always see good things in that person. We always say good things about that person. Why not do it today? Start seeing good things. Start seeing all the virtues in that person. That's why we're married to that person. Say nice things to each other instead. Think good thoughts. Say kind words. That's what your mercy is about, to be merciful to people. If we haven't hugged our loved ones, do that. Don't wait until you're about to die to do it. God's will is something we should be done, not ours. But since we think we have a lot of time, we're not doing it yet. We should not speculate as to whether God is patient and kind and merciful, or God is demanding and impatient. That's not our job. Our job is what God wants. And they said, God said, I want you to produce the good works now, today. And so we ask the Lord during the season of Advent, of Lenten season, that we might have the courage and the strength as we fast and pray and give alms, that we might learn to become less, that God might become more in our life. And being today with the scrutiny, I'd like to ask now Debbie to come up and call the names of those who will be questioned today.
This morning we will be celebrating the first of three scrutinies for our elect. Those who will be fully initiated at Easter with baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist. They need our prayers and support. We pray that each of these elect will hear the comforting message of the pardon for sin, and to be filled with the Spirit of Christ the Redeemer, who is the living water. James Andaverde, Priscilla Chapa, David Gaitan, Jeremy Gonzalez, Ricky Martinez, and David Reichenbacher, please come forward with your godparents, and the rest of the candidates also come forward with your sponsors.
My dear brothers and sisters, as the sponsoring community of Corpus Christi Cathedral, let us pray in silence for these elects and candidates and ask that they be given a spirit of repentance, a deepened sense of sin, and a true freedom of the children of God. God of power, send your Son to be your Savior. Grant that these elect, who, like the women of Samaria, thirst for the living water, may turn to the Lord as they hear his words and acknowledge the sins and weaknesses that weigh them down. Protect these elects from vain reliance on self and defend them from the power of Satan. Free them from the spirit of deceit so that admitting the wrong they have done, they may attain purity of heart and advance on the way to salvation. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the fountain for which they thirst. You are the master whom they seek. In your presence they dare not claim to be without sin, for you alone are the Holy One of God. They open their hearts to you in faith. They confess their faults and lay bare their hidden wounds. In your love, free them from their infirmities, heal their sickness, quench their thirst, and give them your peace, your rising from the dead. Show your elect the way of salvation in the Holy Spirit, that they may come to worship the Father in truth, for you live and reign forever and ever. Amen. My dear elects and candidates, listen carefully to the words of faith by which you will be justified. The words are few, but the mysteries they contain are great. Receive them with a sincere heart and be faithful to them. Please join me now, I'd like to ask all of you to stand, in professing our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. This I would like to ask you, please congratulate them on their first scrutiny. My dear friends, you are about to set out on the road that leads to the glory of Easter. Christ will be your way, your truth, and your life. Go now in the peace of Christ. The Lord is indeed kind and merciful. Let us bring to our God the needs of all people in the world.
Let all of us in our church truly repent of our sins, showing the world the true path to the Lord of life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all priests of the Sacrament of Reconciliation, for diplomats, arbitrators, and all who work to bring about reconciliation among their fellow human beings, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
For those preparing for the Easter sacraments, especially those among us, may they come to know and love more deeply the God of our ancestors who loves us still today. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
That we may be patient with others, nurturing them as our loving God nurtures us during this Jubilee year of mercy. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those who serve in our armed forces and for their families and loved ones, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of George Kosher, brother of Mr. Ray Perone, Margaret Ari Baltaitis, Monsignor Celestine Murray, members, deceased members of the Mew family, Joanne Otto, Pete Gonzalez Jr., Minnie Gonzalez, and for the intentions of Margarita Garcia, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And now, my dear friends, for all of the prayers that we hold in the silence of our own hearts. For all of our needs, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers. O merciful God, you hear us in our need and respond with love just as you responded to your chosen people. Graciously grant these requests, for we ask them through Christ our Lord. Amen. Gifts in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you this morning. God bless you. Thank you. Jesus. Pray to God bless you. Thank you. Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and good of all his holy church. Be pleased, O Lord, with these sacrificial offerings, and grant that we who beseech pardon for our own sins may take care to forgive our neighbor through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you, and with your spirit. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and just. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere, to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, for you will that our self-denial should give you thanks. Humble our sinful pride, contribute to the feeding of the poor, and so help us imitate you in your kindness. And so we glorify you with countless angels, as with one voice of praise we acclaim.
Sanctus, Sanctus, Dominus Deus Abbat, Regis Caeli et Terra, Gloria Tua, Hosanna in excelsis, Benedictus qui venit in nomine Domini.
are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and the working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith.
We believe in the Lord, and hope that the resurrection until he comes.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim, by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servants Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who were pleasing to you, at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. May the body of the Lord Jesus Christ keep you safe. Hello, I'm Father Han Pham, Rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.